I'll introduce myself very quickly. I'm Deacon Patrick Cunningham. I've been ordained as a deacon for the Diocese of Bismarck, North Dakota. Currently, I am a seminarian studying for the Catholic priesthood. I'll be a fourth-year theologian this fall. I attend Blessed John the 23rd Seminary in Boston, Massachusetts. Sometimes we refer to it as Blessed John the 23rd Geriatrics and Assisted Living. Because all of us are older guys. It just so happens that I am the oldest guy in the house. I'm even older than the faculty. The readings today are a takeoff, especially the first reading, from all this past week. The readings have been from the prophets. And it's how the prophets come down to bring messages from God and how they are rejected by the people. Now, a lot of times we think the prophets, and especially because of televangelists and the way they interpret scripture, we see prophets as people who foretell the future, almost like astrologers or fortune tellers. And that's not really what prophets do at all. Prophets are people who are called by God to bring messages to his people. A lot of times it was to call his people back to the faithfulness that they had strayed from. And a lot of times what they would do is also tell what was going to happen if they did not come back. Now, we usually think of prophets from being very of old times, the Old Testament. But I would like to introduce you to a prophet and see if you recognize who he is. Because I don't have my notes, I'll miss some of these things. But he was a prophet who prophesied that there would be a degeneration of marriage. He was a prophet who said the government will begin to coerce us in reproductive rights. He is a prophet who said that because of what is happening in society, women will become more and more objects for men's satisfaction. He prophesied that there would be more illegitimacy, that there would be a greater breakup of family, and people would become more and more disassociated from one another. He prophesied that men and women would begin to lose their dignity. Does anybody know who this prophet might be? Anybody else? Father's got the right answer. Paul the Sixth. Because Father got it right first. First person that got it right gets a Sacagawea dollar. All of these things, Pope Paul the Sixth prophesied in his encyclical Humanae Vitae, which many of us, many of you who weren't even born yet, but those of us who were, we rejected it outright. And I will be the first to confess that I was one when the National Catholic Reporter printed the majority report on the Papal Commission on Birth Control, that I was running around beating everybody over the head, telling them how the church was going to change its teaching. And when Humanae Vitae came out, it became a great struggle for me, as it did for many Catholics. And so what I have to say to you today, I do not in any way hope to change your minds. What I hope to do is to put you on a path that will change your mind. It took me almost 10 years, so I feel like I'm giving you some leeway. You've got a lot of time. But one of the areas that I really want to focus on today is not so much on contraception itself, but the results. And one of the results, and this isn't the only reason this happened, but contraception plays a big part in it. And it plays a big part in the number of abortions that we have. If contraception was so good and worked so well, then why do we have so many abortions taking place? Because it doesn't work. Because it degrades the dignity of human beings, both men and women. It lowers sex to a recreation. And it really makes women the objects of gratification for men, because now men are not responsible at all. And the biggest thing, which is the thing I want to focus on today, is the increase in the use of pornography by men and even by women. And some of the really scary things about this industry. It is estimated, and this isn't just somebody pulling a number out of the air, they have done surveys. The surveys show that up to 50% of church-going men indulge regularly in pornography. Of church-going women, 1 out of 6 uses pornography. In 2006, and I haven't got my notes, so I may be off on the year, it was a $57 billion industry. 2 years later, it was a $97 billion industry. There is about 480 million pornography sites. 89% of them are in the United States. And the most shocking thing at all is that the biggest users of pornography are children 12 to 17. 12 to 17. In a medical ethics class that I had last semester, one of the ethics books was talking about pornography and what it does. And early use, especially in that age, before the age of 21 or 24, imprints and develops chemical needs in the brain so strong that sometimes, even in a lifetime, it is impossible to get rid of. My message to you today, especially as parents and grandparents, is to be aware of this hideous scourge in our society. To be aware of what your children and grandchildren are surfing with on the net. Be aware of what kind of sexual education they are being given in their schools. Is it just information? Or are they being given also the dignity of what sex is and how it is to be used and what God's plan was for men and women and for sex in their lives as married couples? I don't think there's any doubt that we just need to look outside in our society today and see that John Paul VI hit it dead on. He hit it dead on. And as Catholics, we have become assimilated in the society that we live in. Our history, though, and our charism is that we are different from the world. That we look at natural law and natural reason and begin to understand how the Creator who created us wants us to live. And when we live that way, we have great joy in our hearts. There is nothing in this world materially that satisfies us. St. Augustine says, the only thing that satisfies us is truth. And God is the truth. And when we look at how God intended for us to live, we can see He's a whole lot smarter than we are. That was one of the things that helped me realize that Paul VI was probably more right than me. I mean, after all, I'm just a country bumpkin sitting out here on the prairies of Kansas. That's where I lived at the time. And what made me think that I knew more than he did? And I've listened to all the arguments about old dried-up men in Rome who don't know anything about how people live. Well, I was married for 42 years. I have 8 children. I know how married people live. I know what that life is like, and I know how wonderful it can be when spouses see each other as an individual given to them by God as a gift. And would you ever use a gift in a way that made them feel like they had been used? That they'd been used. None of us likes to be used by other people, whether it's at work or in families or among friends. We do not like to be used. And in the most intimate of relationships between a man and a woman who have committed themselves to each other for life, for one of them to feel like they are being used by their partner is devastating to that relationship. I ask you today, when you come to Eucharist, to ask Christ how he wants to use you to help bring about a change in our culture, how he is calling you as a Catholic to live differently from society, to become what we have always been called to be, people who know the truth, know that the truth brings us happiness, and want to share that happiness with others.